California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide.
Off the face-off, the final 10 seconds are ticking off. The Sharks are holding it up against the boards at the near side. And there is Dellandrea, Mukhamudulin, Ferraro. It's down to 2 seconds. One. The horn will sound. And this game is over. And celebration for the Sharks fans who have not seen the San Jose Sharks victorious against the Boston Bruins in quite some time. The last time was March 15th, 2016, right here at the Shark Tank, when San Jose beat the Boston Bruins 3-2. But tonight they win 3-1 in a 14-game losing streak against Boston. The longest in the NHL that was active comes to an end. The Sharks 3, the Bruins 1, and there's a lot of celebrating going on with the men in teal and the fan base.
All right, what is happening, everyone? We are waking up winners as the San Jose Sharks take down the Boston Bruins for the first time since the 2016 season. It was one of the best efforts, if not the best effort of the season from San Jose. You'll love to see a guy like Lucas Carlson get his first chance in literal years and come up with big goals and big stops. You've got William Eklund coming through with a big goal to give the Sharks an early lead. You've got Goody coming through with the empty netter. And for one night, the tank felt like the old tank. For one night, the San Jose Sharks maybe got a glimpse of what their future could be. Now, I don't think it's always going to be a grinded out effort where they just barely eke by the opposition, but you did get the feel that they were more in control of this game, and you did get the feel that they had more of their identity, and they used their physicality, and they used their defense, and they used their effort, and all these things combined to allow them to not just play the game that they wanted to play, but get rewarded for the game they were playing. I mean, that's something we've talked about time and time again with San Jose, is their inability to be rewarded for all their hard efforts, but last night, that was not the case. San Jose outworked the opposition, and they were rewarded for outworking that opposition. And it was a phenomenal game for San Jose. And the thing that I really liked about, and I talked about this after the game against Carolina, is Carolina, much to their credit, after they had a slow start in that game, there was no panic in their game. They didn't break from their game plan, and they just kept on working and figuring that they would eventually get past San Jose. That was a lot of what I saw in this game from San Jose. The first period, it was not the most exciting period of hockey in any way, shape, or form, but the Sharks did not abandon what they were trying to do. And eventually, they break through with their first goal from William Eklund coming 2 minutes into the second period. Macklin Celebrini and Luca Cagnoni with his first point breaking through. And that was just a big moment. It felt like the Sharks' hard work at that point was paying off. And then you don't give up a game-tying goal until late in the second period. So at that point, San Jose, if you're at home and you're not going to concede until you're late in the second period, I've said this before, and I am sure I will say it again along the path of this rebuild, that's indicative of a winnable game for the San Jose Sharks. Just like all those games where they've only conceded two going into the third period on the road, you know, if you've given up two or fewer, to borrow a used expression, and it's late in the game, those are games you should win. Now, those are games the Sharks do not consistently win. I think we all know that's accurate, but I do think that that shows that they're giving themselves a chance. And even if they haven't made good on all those chances, I would much rather have they have those chances in the first place than not have them at all, because it does feel like it's something to build off of. Then you get late into the third period, and Lucas Carlson gives the Sharks a 2-1 lead with just under 4 minutes remaining, and then you get an empty netter from Goody, assisted by William Eklund and Lucas Carlson. So, you know, you look at the stats out of this game, and you see Lucas Carlson, again, making the most of his opportunity, a goal and an assist, a two-point night for him. William Eklund, a two-point night for him. Macklin Celebrini, a two-point night for him. Will Smith gets a point on the night. Goody gets a goal. Luca Cagnoni gets his first point. You know, when we talk about the future of the Sharks, I don't know how Carlson and Goodrow play into that situation, but Luca, Will Smith, Will Eklund, and Macklin Celebrini all coming through with points. That's a big, big night for San Jose. There's no way to deny it. That gives you, again, an idea of the future. And then, again, you look through the rest of this game, no one else has a minus on their score sheet. You know, you see great performances from Colin Graf. Really like what we're continuing to see from Patrick Giles. Ostapchuk did not have a great game for him. He only played about 7 minutes out there. Same story for Carl Grundstrom, only about 8 minutes out there for him. But again, these guys are you know, figuring out what they're going to be for the future, specifically Ostapchuk. But yeah, I mean, you're watching the Sharks in real time develop, and Colin Graf is another one of those players. And Shakir Mukhmudulin put in, you know, almost 25 minutes last night. Mario Ferraro put in about 25 minutes last night. These are efforts. These are desires, and these are the willingness to do what it takes to win that you need from your young players. And it would be easy for the Sharks to mail it in at this point. I'm not going to deny that. They could have just said, oh, this team's got our number. We're going to go through the motions, and we are going to, you know, just see what happens in this game. Maybe we win, maybe we don't. But the Sharks played that game, played that entire 60 minutes like it was a playoff game, like it was everything that mattered. And that's a huge, huge indication of where the culture is with San Jose and what the desire level is for these guys. Last night was Mario Ferraro's 400th NHL game. When he came to the Sharks, when he finally made the team in the fall of 2019, that was a team that had gone to the Western Conference Final the year before. They had Erik Karlsson. They had Evander Kane. They had Joe Thornton. They had, you know, Brent Burns, right? They had Timo Meier. They had Tomas Hertl. They had an entirely different narrative around the franchise than what they have now. And I'm sure Mario Ferraro thought that it would be a step, you know, forward in his career into the playoffs, and it would happen very quickly. Instead, he's played 400 games now. He's never played in the playoffs, and he's waiting for that first opportunity, and he wants to be part of that solution that gets San Jose to the playoffs. And I think that's one of the reasons why when his name came up in trade talks, Mike Greer was asking for so much for him, saying, okay, you want him, you gotta pay for it. Because Mario Ferraro keeps on playing with a burning desire to get this team back to what he felt they could be when he first joined the team. I'm sure he thought that the playoffs were not a foregone conclusion, but it was not going to be 400 games into his career, and he was not going to be playing in the playoffs. You know, this is Mario Ferraro experiencing the realities of life in the NHL, and even though the San Jose Sharks have been eliminated, they've currently won, you know, some games as of late. They're only 2 points back of Chicago, and I don't necessarily want them to pass Chicago in the standings because I want the Sharks to have the best possible chance at the number one pick. But at the same time, I think when we look at the records, when we look at the points, when we look at the efforts, you see that something positive is going on in San Jose. And I know that from the outside, if you're in Boston and you look at San Jose, who with the win last night is 19-42-9, you're saying, oof, that team is a long way off. And that's not necessarily incorrect because, yes, they are still a long way off. But I also think that you can't deny the culture. You can't deny the desire. You can't deny what the passion that this team plays with. And I'll also point out the entertainment factor with the San Jose Sharks in wins, in losses, it's usually through the roof. Macklin Celebrini, William Eklund, Will Smith, Colin Graf, Luca Cagnoni, Shakir Mukhmudulin, Tyler Toffoli, Alex Wenberg. You know, you go down the list with so many of these guys on the team. You know, even you watch, you know, Romanov or, you know, Georgiev, these guys are playing great hockey and they're giving you entertaining hockey. They're making big saves. They're coming up with great plays. Lucas Carlson scoring goals, making block shots in 6-on-5 situations. These are the types of things that you're hoping to see from a high caliber team. And the Sharks are doing it, you know, consistently being a, you know, bottom of the standings team. This type of entertainment was not there a year ago. And it's one of the things that, you know, I've heard from a lot of people who have been around the league and are paying close attention to the Sharks as they say, you know, last year, the Sharks team had, you know, the exact same number of wins, 19, but they were a completely different team. They were not fun to watch. They were not entertaining in the slightest. This year's team gives you a great effort, gives you great highlights, gives you great moments. And you look at last night's game and you are wildly entertained by that. If you are not entertained, I don't know what exactly you're asking for in a hockey game. You had good defense. You had great efforts. You had some hitting. You had fights. You had empty netters. You had drama. You had, you know, Macklin Celebrini, Will Eklund, Will Smith getting on the score sheet, Luca Cagnoni with his first points. You're getting a look at the future. You're watching established players that have been doing it for a long time in this league. The Sharks bring it all. Every single night, the Sharks bring it all to the NHL in every game that they play. And yeah, there have been some stinkers along the way. The Sharks are at the bottom of the table for a reason. I'm not trying to tell you that this team is winning the Stanley Cup, but I am telling you that there are good things happening in San Jose. And it's something that I have talked about more recently than I did earlier in the year. But I think there has to be a point made about the chemistry of this team, considering we only ever talk about chemistry with winning teams. Oh, look at that team. Oh, look at the chemistry. They're winning. Oh, you can see the smiles. Well, the San Jose Sharks have smiles, and they're only at 47 points into this season in, you know, 70 games. The end is nigh, but they are still having fun. They are eliminated from the playoffs, but they're not playing like a team that's been eliminated from the playoffs. They're not playing like a team that's at the bottom of the table. They're not having a season that's like a team at the bottom of the table. And I hope that the rest of the NHL is paying attention because, and I've made these comparisons before to where, you know, the Giants were in 2008, 2009. And I don't think that means that the Sharks are going to win a title next year, but I also think I've made the comparisons to where the, you know, Warriors were back around 2012, you know, 2013, when they were first getting going. Everyone could see that there was fun happening. And people used to point at Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green and all those guys and say, hey, the Warriors are having a good time. They're not winning yet, but boy, there's a lot of talent on this team. They could be dangerous. You know, you used to see the clips of Brian Wilson and Tim Lincecum goofing around in the bullpen. You'd see guys in the Giants dugout having a good time. They had, you know, Pablo Sandoval, everyone was talking about the Panda. They had all these nicknames. Bochy had the good vibes going. I know that Ryan Warsawski is not an elder statesman of the game like Bruce Bochy, but I mean, these good vibes, this idea of the future, it doesn't happen by accident. And I think that the more and more people take a look at what's happening in San Jose, A, they're going to realize that, hey, this team, you know, they're going to be good, and they're going to be good sooner rather than later. And they have a chance to be more than good. They have a chance to be a contender, a consistent contender, which has been job number one for Mike Greer since he took control of the franchise in the general manager position. But I also think that general free agents around the year, you know, players at large are going to look at that and say, you know what? That team's got a lot of money to spend. That team doesn't have severe winners. That team's got, you know, some incredible young talent, and that team is having fun. Tyler Toffoli is one of the more respected, established professional veterans in the NHL, and every single night, he is having a good time with the San Jose Sharks. Everyone's hearing his stories about, you know, having fun with Will and Macklin. He's trying to crush beers while they're drinking milk and cookies. He's trying to go get a good night's sleep, and they're making bets with him about everybody scored, and then he's got to go sleep on some pullout mattress. He's texting his wife. His wife's texts are going viral on social media, and that's fun. And I don't think you should overlook fun because, boy, I have seen some situations in the NHL where guys are not having fun. You know, I haven't seen a lot of fun this year in Chicago. I haven't seen a lot of fun this year in Nashville. I haven't seen a lot of fun this year in Vancouver. I haven't seen a lot of fun this year in Buffalo. I haven't seen a lot of fun this year with the Pens. You know, like we keep on talking about all these teams and where they are and where they are not. And I know that, listen, you can come back and say, Ted, the be-all, end-all is not having fun. But I do think, and it's one of the things that I've learned from a lot of time in my life around sports and a lot of time, you know, being around coaches and looking at the things they want for their teams. And one of the things that Steve Kerr did before he took over the Golden State Warriors is he went to some coaches around different sports and talked to them. And at the time, the Seattle Seahawks, and I know I don't mean to trigger you 49er fans because I'm a 49er fan too, and I don't love those Seahawks teams because, you know, they beat the 49ers consistently back in the Harbaugh era. But Steve Kerr went and met with Pete Carroll. Now, I will tell you this. I am a fan of Pete Carroll just because he was awesome with the 49ers when he was a coach here. And, you know, he's just a great coach. I think he's a phenomenal mind, and he's had success at so many levels for a reason. But Steve Kerr went and met with Pete Carroll, and he saw how much fun they were having at practice, and he saw the vibes that were being, you know, generated by that team. And Steve Kerr, you know, after, you know, talking to Pete Carroll, had this question of him asked by Pete Carroll. He said, what do you want to be the overriding emotion that your team experiences out of this sport? And Steve Kerr said to Pete Carroll, joy. And that stuck with Steve Kerr because I think at the time he said he had never specifically thought about that succinct question, but it was the obvious answer that he wanted to come to. And you look at what the Warriors have done over the years, the obvious incredible talents that Steve Kerr was inherited, or it did inherit, but that joy didn't exist with their previous head coach. You know, I think that Mark Jackson was a good coach, but you know, there were some strange things going on with the franchise under Mark Jackson. There was a reason that they moved on. But I do think that Steve Kerr had that idea of bringing joy. And joy you can interpret in many, many ways. But that has been a big part of the Warriors' narrative and the way that they would just absolutely demolish teams in a run that happened, you know, in the fourth quarter where they would sink, you know, like 8 3-pointers in 6 minutes and, you know, turn the game on its head, go on a 24-6 run and absolutely bury the team or come from 20 points down and suddenly be up by 30. And you'd get these shots of the opposition asking themselves what just happened while the Warriors are smiling and laughing and having fun. And I think that, you know, Ryan Warsawski was very clear early in the year about what the identity he wanted his team to have. You know, he wanted them to be hardworking. He wanted them to be, you know, a no-quit, fight-to-the-end type team. And that's clearly been established as you look at the turnover on the roster from where they've been, you know, earlier in the year to where they are now. But I think at some point, he also recognized that while having such a young team and focusing on this youth movement, he needed to have fun. He needed to have these guys having a good time. He needed smiles and laughter and to lean into all of these things. And I'm not saying that that's always going to be the narrative for the San Jose Sharks, because when the games get more serious further down the line, or at least we hope they do, when the Sharks are more of a contending team, it can't just be smiles and laughs and sleepovers and cute stories that people pick up on social media. It's got to be wins and opportunities and division titles and playoff berths and deep runs and title contention. Like that's the ultimate goal out of all of this. But at the same time, you don't want to forget about these different aspects that led you to this level of success. You don't want to forget about the fun, about the vibes, about the positivity, because it has carried them through these dark times. And this year, and I don't mean to beat up on Connor Bedard because I think that he is an easy target and things in Chicago have not been anything like the way they've gone in San Jose. And pundits from around the league have said, you know, look at Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and how much fun they're having in San Jose. And meanwhile, you get, you know, what's going on with Bedard in Chicago and you don't see the smiles, you don't see the fun. And listen, Connor Bedard is a supreme talent and he's not going to be lacking for success in his career. I'd be stupid to think that in any way, shape, or form. But I do think you have to look at what roster construct is like, and I think you have to look at what life is like for everybody. You know, do these guys all walk away from the rink every single day after practice with a smile on their face, even if they were just doing gassers and working their tails off, even if they were just getting chewed out by their coach for what they messed up on a defensive responsibility in a certain situational drill? I can't say that that's been the same for everyone. But I do know, being at various practices for the Sharks this year, watching the way that they've worked their tails off, watching the way that they've, you know, responded to different moments, the vibes here that are being fostered are very positive. Get a lot of credit to Mike Greer because he's identifying personality traits that he consistently wants on his team. Give a lot of credit to Ryan Warsawski and his coaching staff because he has consistently been making things fun for the young guys in the midst of a lot of losing. And then you look at the veterans here, like a Ferraro, like a Wennberg. And you look at the guys like Goodrow, who's in his first year here, but you know, I know he's consistently talked about as being a guy in the room that everybody's looking to. I look at, you know, what guys like Nico Sturm and Luke Cunningham were bringing previously. You know, you go down the list, Mark Edward Vlasic, how he, in a year where he's not getting a ton of playing time, has been, you know, he's always quipping. He's always a bit of a red ass and making jokes and poking fun at everybody, but he's, you know, turned into more of that coaching role and turned into more of that, you know, elder statesman and the status type guy of telling guys how to handle situations. I mean, these things do not happen by accident. And you're also looking at, you know, a team that has had Logan Couture on the bench for the better part of 2 years. He hasn't played at all this year. We don't know if he's ever coming back. There were a million reasons why this situation this year could have gone bad, but it hasn't gone bad. Instead, you're eliminated and you're beating a team in Boston who, not having a good year, finds themselves, you know, now about 6 points out of the playoff picture. But you know, the San Jose Sharks are fighting to the end. They are beating teams still. They are giving themselves a chance. Even that game against Carolina the other night, yeah, Carolina ground the Sharks down and eventually found a way to win. But the Sharks, even though they weren't playing their best game, they were still in it. And they're in it game after game after game. And yes, there have been a few stinkers along the way. I keep on repeating that. But I don't think it should be overlooked that the Sharks are still fighting this hard, that they are still playing this hard and having these types of performances. I mean, let's just look at the month of March. They got a shootout win over Toronto on the road. They got a 6-2 win over Buffalo on the road. Yeah, they got blown out by Colorado, but think about how many teams that are good that Colorado's blown out this year. You know, they had a tight loss against the Islanders. They had a tight loss against Nashville. They beat a team in Chicago that at home you should beat, but it wasn't easy. They lost to the Caps. Okay, the Caps are one of the best teams in the NHL right now. And they had a tight loss against Carolina. And then they had a nice tight win against Boston, the first of three original six teams that they will face. Then they got quite a challenge against Toronto coming up on Thursday. And then they have New York coming in on Saturday night. And then they're in LA to finish off the month. And they're back out on the road for the first time, you know, in quite some time. But the fact of the matter is, San Jose is fighting to the very end. San Jose is making the most out of this season. San Jose is not letting this season go to the wayside. And they're maximizing opportunities. Whether it's Lucas Carlson, whether it's Luca Cagnoni, whether it's Macklin Celebrini, whether it's Will Smith, whoever it is, Noah Gregor now back in San Jose getting opportunities, whether it's Patrick Giles, whether it's Zach Ostapchuk. Again, these guys are making the most of it. They're having fun. They're playing hard. They're doing it night after night after night. And I don't think that should be ignored. It's easy to focus on the wins or lack thereof. It's easy to focus on the overwhelming number of losses that have happened in the recent years of San Jose. But again, these efforts, these players, the personalities, the smiles, the fun, it's pointing towards a brighter future. I know it's hard to see it sometimes, but in my opinion, it's pointing towards that future. And I know it's still not going to happen tomorrow or the day after, but it's probably going to happen sooner than we realize. We're all patient. We're all waiting for the fun that's coming. And again, we get a taste of it. Nights like last night, the win against Chicago. It's fun, guys. It's fun watching these San Jose Sharks. I don't know how many other teams in the history of the NHL have looked at a team that through 70 games has 19 wins and said, boy, this is a fun team to watch. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but the San Jose Sharks are fun to watch. Let's get into these highlights out of last night's 3-1 win over the Boston Bruins. Their first since 2016 over the Boston Bruins. Starts off with a goal in the second period from William Eklund.
And here comes Mittelstadt. He's checked by Cagnoni, stripped him of the puck. Eklund flips it cross ice. And here comes Celebrini. Down the right wing, cross the line, feeds it to the left. Here's Eklund breaking in, shoots. He scores! A great exchange of passes between William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini. And Celebrini's return feed to a breaking Eklund into the left circle. He beats Corpusano, and the Sharks are up 1-0 on Boston.
So the Sharks get the early lead in this one, or early second period lead, getting towards the middle portion of the game, but they would not concede until late in the second period, and that would be the only goal that they give up all game long.
So now with 3:18 left in the second period, it is fired in by Boston. This is a good push back by the Bruins. Oh no, in front of the net, they score! Bruins dumped it in. Georgiev came out of the net, made the stick stop, and as he was on his way back, a pass hit a skate. It bounced in front, and Casey Mittelstadt for Boston gets that first bizarre goal of the game that always seems to come whenever the Sharks play the Bruins. Mittelstadt ties the game at 1 for Beantown at 16 minutes and 50 seconds of the second period.
So we're 1-1 now at this point of the game, and then it's just a battle. And this is what I love, because San Jose is still figuring it out as a young team. They're figuring out how to win these games. They're figuring out how to manage games. And this was a game that they managed, and they controlled a lot of the game. They got some big stops from Georgiev. He had 22 saves on the night, a .957 save percentage. He only let one get past him, which is a big, big moment for him. And the Sharks just kept on playing a high-quality game. Finally, Lucas Carlson breaks through late in the third period to give San Jose the lead.
Rebound to the point. Celebrini holds in, shoots it wide. Eklund tips to Will Smith. The Boston area native gives it over to Eklund in the corner. In front for Celebrini off a stick wide of a net. Celebrini gets it behind the net, feeds it back. Smith the drive, save made. There's a rebound there. Score! That's Lucas Carlson who's in deep. He gets the rebound, and in his first game as a San Jose Shark, Lucas Carlson scores a spectacular goal. The Sharks lead 2-1 against Boston.
Of course, you knew it was not going to be easy from that point on. Boston was going to go empty net. They were going to give themselves a chance. And then you kept on getting more and more big-time plays, eventually leading to an empty netter for Barclay Goodrow.
Minute to play in the third period. Sharks leading 2-1 against the Bruins. Pasternak shoots. Blocked in front by Lucas Carlson. And the Sharks pick up, and Eklund is able to chip it out of the zone. It's a lead pass. It's Barclay Goodrow moving in. Empty net. Score! Puts the puck into the empty net and seals victory for Sharks hockey. A 14-game losing streak against Boston is only 49.8 seconds away from coming to an end. And Goodrow, in his last 20 games, hadn't scored a goal. The last time he had one was in Boston against the Bruins. And this one makes it the Sharks 3 and the Bruins 1.
The energy, the vibe, the feeling in the building, that's exactly what the Tank is supposed to be like. The San Jose Sharks up 3-1. They had their empty netter. They had a two-goal lead. Yeah, Boston had less than a minute left. They were still going to fight to the end, but the San Jose Sharks walked away with a big, big win. Their 19th of the year, tying last year's season total in wins in just 70 games.
Off the faceoff, the final 10 seconds are ticking off. The Sharks are holding it up against the boards at the near side. And there is Dellandrea, Mukhamudulin, Ferraro. It's down to 2 seconds. One. The horn will sound. And this game is over. And celebration for the Sharks fans who have not seen the San Jose Sharks victorious against the Boston Bruins in quite some time. The last time was March 15th, 2016, right here at the Shark Tank, when San Jose beat the Boston Bruins 3-2, but tonight they win 3-1 in a 14-game losing streak against Boston, the longest in the NHL that was active, comes to an end. The Sharks 3, the Bruins 1, and there's a lot of celebrating going on with the men in teal and the fan base.
100%. I mean, when Goody was going down on that breakaway with the empty net, like, that was the loudest I've ever heard this rink, so... my ears were kind of ringing after that, which was, I mean, it's really cool to kind of get that support and have all of our fans kind of get behind us like that.
That's Macklin Celebrini after last night's win. And yeah, talking about that moment when Barclay Goodrow was having the opportunity for the empty netter being the loudest he's ever heard the Tank. That's what these guys want to bring on a consistent basis. They want to make SAP Center a packed house every night, an imposing place for the opposition to go into every single night. The fans that have been there through all these dark times are amazing, and they bring an incredible amount of noise. But the way that building is constructed, the way that it explodes in big moments from the fan base, you can't replicate that without the full house. And Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and William Eklund, they're all trying to make it like that once again. And you could feel that, you know, just listening. You can feel that energy in the building. Pretty remarkable and a pretty impressive win for San Jose.
No, because, again, I think we had good energy tonight. We had, you know, our bench was very lively tonight as far as communication and just moving forward. And that's what it's all about. You know, you watch games and, you know, teams that will go on and win the Stanley Cup, bad things are going to happen. And you got to continue to push forward with some mental toughness and get back to your game as quickly as possible. So I give credit to the group. Again, the veterans did a really good job of that. Especially as far as, you know, energy. It almost, again, not to get ahead of ourselves, but it all had that little bit of a playoff feel to it in a sense, where both teams are kind of throwing punches and seeing where we, you know, back and forth, momentum shifts. So that's a good experience for our players. And we want to bottle that up and keep going with it. And there's things we can do better, but I liked their energy and I thought we worked tonight. And that was a big message going forward, is we went against the Carolina Hurricanes team that works. And that's the bar, and we got to get to it. So I thought we took another step to that bar.
Some great thoughts from head coach Ryan Warsawski after last night's game, but we are just about out of time. Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all week long. We'll bring you interviews. We'll bring you stuff from practice. We'll keep you abreast of the latest. And the Barracuda are on TV tonight, 5 o'clock on NBC Sports California, as well as right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.